says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Praise God for that. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Anybody glad to be adopted in the house tonight? According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Praise the name of Jesus. Verse 8 says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Everybody say, all wisdom and prudence. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. And verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Everybody say, that's my promise. We've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Praise God. Lord, we love you. Your word is already anointed, but God, I pray that this vessel would be anointed tonight, God, and that your word would go forward to good places tonight, Lord, to places that need the word of God, that it would be a good seed, a fitly spoken word in a time of need. Jesus, we need you tonight. We need your power, we need your anointing, and we need your word, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Paul writes this to the church at Ephesus, actually in the context of salvation. We know that because earlier in Scripture he talks about the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He's chosen us before the foundation of the world, to the praise of the glory of his grace. So this is talking about making it to heaven. And he gives us a promise there that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that he would gather together in one all things in Christ. That's talking about, again, Christ gathering up those things to himself that are destined for heaven. And tonight, I want to talk to you tonight about precious promises. Because we have a promise, one promise in particular, for those that have obeyed the gospel, that have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and have been filled with his Spirit. Our promise is heaven. We want that promise. And if we continue to live a life of holiness, it's not just a one-time experience, right? We continue to walk in the Bible says, in the steps, plural, of that faith, right? We've got to continue the journey, but our promise is heaven. And I like that promise. Said another way, in 2 Peter 1 and 4, he says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Watch this, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So the promise here is heaven. And we are, in this scripture, partakers of the divine nature. That's the promise. There's the adoption of children by Jesus to himself. That's the promise. There's It talks about an inheritance. That's our promise, a gathering together in one, all things in Christ. That's the promise. But he gives us, and this is what I want to talk about in particular tonight, a tool to find that promise, to keep that promise. And that tool is wisdom. It's wisdom. He says that he would abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, I have reached a place where in my life where I can't pull. I used to pull the rookie card all the time, and I'm still a rookie. But I have reached a place in my life where I need wisdom. I need the wisdom of God. I have seen starting to and being exposed to different things that have caused me to learn that I need to grow. Challenges that I've never faced before, that I'm not equipped for. Amen. You ever just kind of been thrown kind of a softball and one of them you hit out of the park, and then the next one you get thrown, and it's like it's a BB. You just find yourself in those situations sometimes, and you realize that, hey, I've got to grow up, and I've got to grow up quick. I'm not equipped for this. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know the ins and outs of this. I don't know how to fix this. I definitely don't have any wisdom in this area. And so the Bible says that God abounds towards us in wisdom and prudence. And so I've got to begin to lean on God. I've got a promise, yes. I've got an inheritance, yes. I've got this thing that God, but there's a journey along the way that God leads us through, and we never get to the place of perfection. We never get to the place where we can, in fact, it's a very dangerous place to walk when we walk so confidently in God that we give off this air like, I've got this. I'm in control here. I know how this goes, and I know the right steps to take. We can't ever get to that place because God's got a really funny way of stepping into that and saying, oh, really? Boop. And so we haven't arrived. The Bible says that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that our righteousness is as of filthy rags. And so God has got to help each and every single one of us as we go on this journey to exercise wisdom. How do I apply the Word of God? How do I navigate this situation? God, you tell me, how do I fix this? In fact, most of the time, when that scripture said that, it caught me really off guard because it says he abounds towards us. In other words, that means that he's enough. There's more and some to spare. It's exceeding. It excels. It increases. It means to be left, to overflow over and over. And I thought to myself, now, I don't know about you, but I don't feel that way sometimes when I wake up in the morning. I don't wake up most days and feel like God has abounded towards me in wisdom. I don't wake up most days and say, oh, well, thank you, Jesus. It doesn't happen for me. In fact, most of the time I don't feel that way. Now, I do a pretty good job of tricking these guys, but I'll tell you right now, guys, I'm a mess sometimes. No, I'm your youth pastor. I'm a mess, though. Some days I get up. Don't you testify. Yes, Jesus. Thank you for finally talking to my husband. No, she'll tell you, though. Some days I get up, I'm a mess. I forget to pray. I forget to talk to the Lord. I told the Lord I was going to fast, and I pop a bagel in my mouth, and I forget. I do. I mess, and I need wisdom, right? I need wisdom because most days, amen, praise God. Praise God. And you know, honestly, that's how a lot of us are. I'm not making coffee. This is just hold. You might need it after this, but so this thought kind of ran through my mind is that, you know, we've got the Spirit of God that pours in us. The Bible calls that water, right? This is coffee. I love coffee, and I've kind of, coffee's beautiful. Coffee's, Jesus. I feel a move of the Spirit right there. Coffee's beautiful. Okay, so, but I began to think about this, and really, this is kind of what our lives look like a lot of times, because we've got the Spirit of God that pours in us. And wouldn't it be nice if we could just pour some Spirit in, right? And then we watch Spirit come out. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Wouldn't that be awesome? And then what comes out is just beautiful. It's all Holy Ghost. It's all anointed. It's all prayed up. It's all clear, right? It's just some pure good old Holy Ghost right there, right? But and then we've got this filter, right? And we've got the Word of God, and we've got our pastor, right? Man, Lord's going to strike me dead. And wouldn't it be beautiful if that's how life worked? The problem is, in most cases, I put coffee in there, and it's a beautiful day. But we put stuff in that filter. We put stuff in there, and God is pouring in. And there is the Word of God being preached, and there is our pastor calling us, and there is the filter of the Word of God, and there is church on Sunday, and all of these things, and there, and it's trying, but sometimes we put things in here, and the product is not just, oh, God made us perfect, here you go. No, we are not a product just of God breathing perfect life into us, and that would be wonderful, but that all changed in the garden. Amen. It's why we need wisdom, because when you pour water in here and there's coffee in there, you don't get water anymore. You get coffee. Because the purity and the water met the coffee, and now it's no longer pure water. And our lives work a lot the same way. We've all got something in the filter. When God pours into us, we've all got something in here. Our emotions, our heart, our failures, are the things that the enemy has spoken to us that take what God poured in pure, and we mix it and we mix it and we mix it, and then we become a product of not just God and not just the filter, but we become a product of basically our flesh and the Spirit of God being mixed together. And to what degree that happens is mostly up to us. But we need wisdom. What does the Bible say about our need for wisdom? The Proverbs 4 and 5 says, get wisdom and get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. I looked up just a definition of the word wisdom. It says a quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. God considers wisdom more precious than gold. He considers it more precious than gold. How much better, Proverbs 16 and 16, is it to get wisdom than gold? I'm praying for this in my life. I'm praying for this scripture in my life. I need God to give me some wisdom. I need all the elders. If you've got a word for me, I need all the wisdom in my life you can give me. I need all the life experience. I've got a wonderful pastor, and I am so thankful. I am so thankful when the man of God or the lady of God steps in my life and says, hey, listen, I've got a feeling about this. Let's do it this way. Hey, I don't feel so good about that. Can we change this? Yes, sir. We sure can. How quick you want me to change it, Pastor? How do you want it to change? How high do I need to jump? You tell me where to go. I do my dead level best every time the people of God step into my life and say, listen, thus saith the word of God. You got to hear this, young people. I do my best to say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. When do you want me to change it? How fast do I need to change it? Because I'm telling you, I'm getting ahead of myself, but God will speak things to your pastor that he does not speak to you. God will speak things to the pastor's wife that he does not speak to you. He won't. He didn't tell the people where to go on the mountain when he called me. He told Moses, you draw the line at the mountain. You tell the people where to go. You tell them how far is too far. And so God gives your pastor discretion. God gives your pastor delegated authority. And it's not all about him being able to show you chapter and book for every single thing. If pastor says, hey, listen, I want to stay away from this principle as far as we can get. Listen to him. Listen to him. I'm begging you, listen to him, because there's been some things he's spoken into my life. In my opinion, I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. I couldn't go. But you know what? I'm blessed because of it. God came into my life and blessed me in a major way because I know that when my pastor speaks to me, he's heard from God. Amen. Why do we need wisdom in our life? You know, it doesn't take a lot of wisdom to know that I shouldn't steal, shouldn't kill, shouldn't all of that stuff, right? That's just basic. Those are basic things we process every single day, right? Those are basic things that we, you know, our conscience tells us that. But how do you navigate working for a corrupt boss and not losing your job? And being a good saint at the same time. I remember one time I worked for a certain company, north, south, east, or west of here. And one of my, my boss said, listen, I need you to go out and I need you to get some accounts. And I need you to do it with this young lady right here. You guys are going to get in the car. You guys are going to ride out together, and you guys are going to go and knock on doors. And I said, no, sir, I am not. You're not catching me dead as a married man in a car with another woman. You'll have to kill me first if my wife don't get to me first. Praise God. Amen. I could have used a little more wisdom in that situation. Maybe about how to communicate that better. The bottom line is when you stand on God's word is wisdom. It will help you navigate those seas. How do you speak about the things of God to a prodigal family member? When they're bitter and they came to the house of God and somebody said something to them about their skirt and they walked out hurt, how do you talk to that person? How do you go to that person and say, come on back to the house of God. God loves you. Praise the Lord. No, they're bitter. They're hurt. How do you begin to repair hurts and damages that, I mean, we've all got them, right, in our families, people that we know, that we associate with. They don't all the time come in here and open up about them, but they open up to you about them. It requires wisdom. It's something I don't have yet. I am praying for that. I am praying for wisdom, Sister Stella. I'm praying for that. And I'm not here tonight to tell you about. I've been trying to do some research on this, and I've been trying to figure out, God, how do I get wisdom? Lord, where is wisdom? Show me what I do. Show me how I pray. Show me. And I want to share, this is just the journey that I've been on lately, and I feel like God has given me some resources. I can't talk to all the particular situations, and to be honest, that's not my place. That's the place of your pastor. But I feel like God has given me three resources for wisdom. Number one, God gives us His Word. They're fountains of wisdom in the Word of God. And how often do we face situations and go home? And I've caught myself doing this. And I'll have the conclusion drawn in my mind before I even get home. And God's saying, no, why don't you just open up the pages of the book one time? Just get that situation and put it in the Word one time. Just let me show you in the Word how to deal with it. But how often do we miss that and we get ourselves in a bind, in a place that we need wisdom, and we don't go home and we open up the Word. We think about it and it gets in our mind and we try and draw our own conclusions. And I don't know about you, but I've made bigger messes out of messes. Because I didn't go home and I didn't say, God, what does Your Word say about this issue? There's an abundance of wisdom in the Word of God. It says, wherefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine, Matthew 7 and 24, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. The Bible says that the Word is God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when it says it's founded upon a rock, it's talking about the rock of the Word, the rock of Jesus Christ. And the Word is a blueprint, it's a master plan, it's His Word, it's the framing, it's the foundation, it's the infrastructure. It's the thing that we put in our lives to keep our houses from, our spiritual houses from blowing down. And it's why we draw blueprints. Blueprints are not made for good weather. Blueprints are made for the bad weather. Plans are drawn to say, okay, it's great now, it's sunny right now, but what about when the tornado comes? What about when the hurricane blows through? How are we going to design this thing? How are we going to set this thing up to weather the storm? How are we going to position this thing so that when something comes along, we're not swayed? See, the Word takes you beyond your own experiences and your own wisdom. Because it comes from a God who has already been where you've been. The Word takes you beyond your own experiences. Hebrews 4 and 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus has been there. Young people, Jesus has been there. You're struggling with temptation? God's been there. You got some crazy friends? God's been there. Get in His Word. Get in His Word. We have the Word of God and we have the Spirit of God. James 1 and 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, says. I'm still trying to figure that one out. Because I don't feel like I have been given liberal wisdom. And abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Romans 8 and 26, watch this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our sicknesses. That's not just talking about physical infirmities. That's talking about spiritual infirmities. That's talking about emotional infirmities, mental infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit of God knows, and it makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. when you don't know what to pray, when you are at rope's end, when you need wisdom for your infirmity in your mind, in your heart, in your emotions, the Bible says that the Spirit of God steps in where we step out, and it makes intercession for us. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've been in many situations where I've just knelt down and I've said, God, I don't know how to fix this. God, I don't know what to say to that person. God, I don't know how to make this person who's crying and hurting come and stand at the altar. But you do, Jesus. And I trust that when I get down in my closet and I speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance and I let the Holy Ghost begin to flow through me, that the Spirit of God in that very moment is saying, get out of the way. It's time for me to step into that situation. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. James says this in 3 and 17. But the wisdom that is from above. And that got my attention. Because he's about to describe what we should see with wisdom that's from above. Is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Pure means it's innocent. Peaceable means that when you're praying in the Holy Ghost and God is giving you wisdom, it means it's quietness, it's rest, it's peaceable. This one got me, easy to be entreated. Anybody know anybody that's never wrong? This scripture talks about somebody that's under the influence of wisdom from above. And it says that that person should be easily compliant to the good things of God. If they're under the influence of wisdom from above, then that person should comply, should be liberal, should be overly willing to comply to the word of God. He that is under the influence of the wisdom from above is not stern, they're not obstinate, they're not unyielding, and they're not stubborn. They're easy to be entreated if wisdom is from above. Full of mercy, they're disposed to show compassion to others. Full of good fruits, and that word fruits is the same word that's used in Galatians 5 and 22. When it talks about love and joy and peace and long-suffering, when you're hearing from God and you're getting wisdom from above, these are the characteristics that you should see. It should be pure and peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated and full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. There's nothing to hide. Amen. And then God gives us our wonderful pastor. Brother Tolson, you can come. Proverbs 13 and 10 says this: only by pride cometh contention. Let me just cast this out there. If you're contentious with your pastor, check your pride level. If you're contentious with your pastor, check the pride meter. Because this says that only by pride cometh contention. But with the well-advised is wisdom. In other words, being well-advised is a resource for wisdom. See, I said earlier there's some things that your man of God is going to speak to you that God doesn't speak to you. And why is that? Because when we get in situations and we get in trials, there's this little big thing called emotions. It comes from our heart that the Bible says is desperately wicked above all. Who can know it? And if any of you have ever had a conversation with our pastor, you know he just has a very special way of stepping in, and kind of like Jesus did when the disciples were in the ocean, he just has a very special way of saying, have you thought about this? It's gone. I've done that. I've experienced that. And I want to tell you that we're blessed as a church. I want to tell you that if you haven't tried, now look, just because the vet messed up the cat's claws, okay? No, I'm talking about situations in your life, okay? I prayed over this. I fasted over this, Pastor. I've gone to the Word of God over this. I've gotten down on my knees about this. I've sought the Word of God. I've sought the face of God. And a pastor has been delegated by God to oversee his flock. And there's situations that he can move into, Sister Ashley, and just speak a few words to. Go, well, boom. Or, if he doesn't have the answer, he can lay a hand on you. Say, hey, let's pray about this. And hear me. That is authority that's been given to your pastor. A few more scriptures and then I'm done. Let's just want to read what the Word says about wise counsel. Proverbs 21:3. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. 24:6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. 19:20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Amen. And so you've got a pastor. You've got the Word of God. You've got a Spirit of God. And you've got your pastor that can help your life overflow with wisdom. Let's all stand tonight. I don't know any of the situations, but I do know that I need wisdom tonight. These altars are open right now. If you're facing something tonight, if you're coming up against something tonight and you need wisdom, let's come to the front tonight and let's ask God to give us wisdom. Let's ask God to speak to that situation. Come on, let's ask God to help us deal with these things that we face on a day-to-day basis. God, I need wisdom for this. I don't have the answer for this, God. I don't understand this. I don't know, God, I don't know how to heal this. I don't know what to say to this. God, I need your wisdom to speak into this right now. I need your anointing to move on this, God. I need your power to begin to move on this. Oh, in the name of Jesus, can we just come and pray and lift up his name right now? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.